Hello, everybody. It's Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show. And Tom, driving in, the air quality just really looks bad out there. I think there's a lot of ozone out there.
Well, I took a look at the forecast discussion at the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality. And for Pima County, they're not really predicting high ozone levels until midday Saturday. So apparently, as these conditions continue from day to day, then the potential for the ozone buildup will increase and reach its peak midday Saturday. I sent a copy if you get a chance sometime.
I have it in front of me, but something is causing the air to look pretty bad out there, I'll tell you.
It must be some kind of particulate matter.
Yeah.
That's my thinking.
Anyway, couple that with an excessive heat warning. We'll get through it, and maybe the rain will come back this weekend. So
They're talking about possibilities Saturday night, and Sunday night, and Monday.
We will certainly see. It's going to be very welcome if we can get the rain again, even though it is the third wettest year on record. I'd like to see it be the wettest year. All right. The Buckmaster Show contributor on health is Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Andrew Weil Endowed Chair in Integrative Medicine and Executive Director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. Dr. Mazes is also a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. She's internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine and is committed to the health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She's the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health, and author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her on her website, victoriamazesmd.com, or follow her on Twitter at vmazes. And she joins us now on the live line, which is courtesy of Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I am doing well. Thank you, Bill. How are you?
Doing pretty well. 14 weeks since my broken arm accident. The bone has healed, but boy, oh boy, the PT, physical therapy, kind of tough, I'll tell you, but I received some wonderful news yesterday that my physical therapist says that she is expecting I will regain pretty much total range of motion. I hadn't asked the question. I was waiting for the PT person when the time was right to tell me, and I thought that was darn good news, Dr. Mazes.
Yeah, that's wonderful news, and good for you for persevering with the physical therapy. It is hard. It is definitely hard work, but it gets you back to where you want to be.
Yeah, they have to break down a lot of scar tissue, something called adhesive capsulitis, which comes on after a broken bone because you're not really moving that arm very much, so they have to break it all down. But we're making progress. I enjoy yogurt on a daily basis. And there was an article in the New York Times that caught my eye about fermented foods. And of course, yogurt is a fermented food. Apparently, there's some research that these foods may alter kind of the makeup of the trillions of bacteria, viruses, and fungi that reside in our intestinal tracts.
Yes, so this is research done by some folks who have been long-standing colleagues of mine at Stanford. They've been regular speakers at our nutrition conference, namely Dr. Justin Sonnenberg and Dr. Christopher Gardner. And what they did is they had people consume 6 cups a day of fermented foods, and as you said, yogurt is a fermented food. There are healthy bacteria in it. And they found that the people who consumed that healthy fermented food had a much more diverse, which we think is good, a more varied set of microbiome bacteria, fungi, viruses, et cetera. But also, and this is really important because we know it can be a root cause of many diseases, they had less inflammation.
And that's a huge thing, because we do want to keep the inflammation down, don't we, in our bodies?
We absolutely do. And, you know, some things we know, we talk on this show about an anti-inflammatory diet, which is rich in omega-3 fatty acids, and it's doesn't bump up your blood sugar, so it's low carbohydrate index, which is those fast-burning carbohydrates, and it's rich in antioxidants, which you mostly get from vegetables and fruits. But it turns out that probiotics probably should be on that list too, and the way you get those probiotics is from fermented foods, because they also lower inflammation.
And what about obesity? Lowering the rates of obesity, is that a possibility?
Well, that's a really good question, and we think so. The more microbiome diversity you have in your gut, that seems to be linked to lower rates of obesity, but we don't know that it's causal. You know, it could be that people who are slim for another reason have more diversity. So it does seem to be linked, but we don't quite understand the full mechanisms yet.
Do most nutritional experts, Dr. Mazes, agree on the benefits of a high-fiber diet?
I think high fiber has been a long-standing recommendation. And, of course, you get fiber in your diet by eating vegetables and fruit and nuts and seeds. Fiber, we think, is not consumed enough by most people, by most Americans. And you know, most of us could use a little boost in fiber. Interestingly enough, in this study, the one group got the probiotics and the other group got an increased amount of fiber. And the folks who got the increased amount of fiber didn't do nearly as well as the folks who were asked to eat those fermented foods.
Well, another benefit, I guess, for the high fiber. Can you do too much fiber in your diet, do you think?
Well, if people introduce a lot of fiber rapidly when they're not used to it, it can make them quite bloated and uncomfortable. And so I usually recommend, when I understand, you know, from listening to what someone's eating, that they're pretty low on their fiber, I have them gradually increase the amount of fiber. Fiber can also be introduced in the body with things like psyllium. So, you know, that's like Metamucil or Citracel. In my own diet, I regularly add flaxseed, ground flaxseed, to my diet. And those are the kinds of fiber additions that you'd probably want to go gradually, but then increase to a significant amount.
I wonder if one reason that fermented foods may be beneficial is because, in many ways, Dr. Mazes, these foods are like living foods. They're alive.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. They have live microorganisms, which we think can add to the diversity of the gut microbiome, but they also produce important products as they're metabolizing. So they actually make vitamins, they make lactic acid, they make citric acid, they make these small chain carbohydrates that really are very beneficial and are in part what reduce the inflammation. And so it is not just the microorganisms themselves, but also their byproducts that seem to be so healthy and helpful.
All right, we're going to pause right here. When we come back with Dr. Victoria Mazes in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, we'll talk about a UN climate change report about food and land. How is climate change possibly going to be affecting our diet? That's as we continue with Dr. Victoria Mazes on the Buckmaster Show, Midweek Edition. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops.
craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the Greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
MedCare to You is a new Tucson-based concierge telemedicine urgent care, specializing in caring for our patients in the comfort of your location. We deliver your prescriptions and even provide in-person visits with our dedicated staff. It's convenient, quick, private, and your personal information is always protected. Find out more at MedCareToYouAZ.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Midweek Edition in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. This is a great opportunity in between kind of time with the rain, a little bit of a down week here to do some planting. We've obviously had a tremendous amount of moisture, which we really needed. So this is a great time to go to Green Things. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. The 13-acre site is home also to Zocalo and all that beautiful merchandise. Much of it is handcrafted. Some beautiful, like, dining room tables from Mexico. Some of those, the craftsmen work right here in Tucson, and their preferred wood is mesquite. So they've got some lovely items for you to check out at Zocalo Village, which is part of Green Things. Here are the websites, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com for more information. Let's continue now with our monthly conversation with Dr. Victoria Mazes. Dr. Mazes, executive director of the Andrew Weil Endowed Chair in Integrative Medicine. And she is also doing a lot of work as a professor of medicine, family medicine, public health at the University of Arizona. Dr. Mazes, we don't typically think when we're talking about climate change, we think about more about the weather, but climate change can have a big impact on the food and land. I wanted to call our listeners' attention to a new UN report, a United Nations report on climate change.
Yes, so this is a really important new report. The last one was 8 years ago, and it really paints quite an alarming picture and you know, gives a sense of urgency that we must make change. And there's been a lot of advances in climate science since the last report, but the panel specifically points to that the way we grow, get, and eat our food is a major driver of climate change, and actually says that our food system, which includes how we produce food, process it, transport it, sell it, food waste, is responsible for up to a third of global greenhouse gas emissions. That is a lot, and that means it's one of the areas that has to be targeted if we're not going to continue to see global warming.
There is a lot going on here, and the authors of this UN report admitted, Dr. Mazes, the complexity of measuring carbon emissions from land use compared to carbon emissions from the energy sector. It gets kind of complicated, but it's very important stuff.
Yeah, and you know, you just mentioned carbon dioxide, but it turns out that some of the greenhouse gas that is really central in our foods is methane. So animals that are ruminants, which that includes cows, and they eat grass and then they belch. We have nicer names for that in science, but that's essentially what they're doing. And as they belch, they release methane, which is a much more potent greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide. Methane can be released from the manure of cows. And so we really have to pay attention to how we're raising animals. Now, other animals like poultry and pork also affect greenhouse gases, but much less so than beef.
Yeah, and I'm looking at some of these numbers. Estimated 23% of greenhouse gas emissions come from agriculture, livestock, and the land and forests needed to raise them. It's surprising how high that percentage is. And what can we do when a report like this comes out? How do we change our thinking about this?
Well, that's a great question. And I think the answer is that there are individual things that we can do. And then there are policy things we can do. And then there are, societal things that have to happen. So individually, if we eat a plant-forward diet, that doesn't mean vegan. Because people get afraid, oh, you're going to take away all my meat. But actually, some of the people who have researched this say that if we followed, for example, Mark Bittman's advice, which is vegan before six, you know, if we just ate a vegan-style diet for breakfast and lunch, but then enjoyed whatever we enjoy for dinner, we would get there. We would reduce the amount of animal production in a way that would lead us to reduce greenhouse gas emissions that we need to. We need policy change. What are we subsidizing as a government? You know, can we change those subsidies? Can we make vegetables and fruits more affordable? Can we encourage people to grow animal foods that are more climate friendly? That would be small fish like sardines or oysters. Can we get used to eating insects? Not something we typically do in the U.S., but lots of other countries do as a protein source. So there are really a wide range of things that we could be doing.
Let's go to our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. John has a question for Dr. Victoria Mazes. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, do you know by chance what is 298 times more potent a greenhouse gas than CO2?
No, I don't.
Refrigerators. Some of the chemicals that we use in refrigerators to cool our food, and that has to be looked at too, and we have to investigate.
John, go ahead.
Well, you've never brought up nitrous oxide. Ha ha ha,
yes.
Laughing gas.
Yes.
It's 298 times as potent.
Right. Yes, so nitrous oxide is another greenhouse gas, and it is also a byproduct of some of the ways that we create food in our food systems, and it is more potent, just as methane is more potent. So I agree, and I'm glad that you know this, and tell your friends.
You know, with the temperatures rising, this is also going to change the way agriculture looks at what they can grow, Dr. Mazes.
Well, I think that's an important point. I mean, I think that we know that there may be limits on our water, our fresh water supply here in Arizona, and some of the plants that we raise for food or the cotton that we raise are require a tremendous amount of water. And so those might be better off raised in another part of the country where water was more abundant. So I don't think we've given that enough thought, but it would be to our benefit. Another surprising thing when we think about greenhouse gases is the food we put into our landfill also creates a very big carbon footprint, and we waste between 25% and 30% of the food we produce. So we need ways to more thoughtfully reduce food waste so that we're not creating that as a source. And then, you know, lastly, we also need technology to advance so that we find new ways to sequester some of the carbon that we're putting into the atmosphere and reduce greenhouse gases that way.
Let me, in the remaining 4 minutes or so, let's kind of do a COVID update. This this situation with the Delta variant, of course, we're hoping it will be peaking soon, but it just seems like COVID's going to be around, Dr. Mazes, for a long time. I think we had such great hopes even three or four months ago that this was all going to be behind us by now. It's almost like we're going to have to live with this, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah, I think that most scientists are moving towards a sense that this will be not a pandemic, but endemic, which means that it will be a new virus that we have to find a way to live with. For example, influenza, which is what gives you the flu, not a regular cold, but the flu, which makes you quite sick, is endemic. Every year there is a flu virus that morphs enough, it mutates enough that it poses risk and causes a significant number of deaths, depending on how virulent it is each year. And each year we get a vaccine against the flu virus. And so we are probably looking at a situation for some time to come where we will need to be vaccinated against COVID, and that the vaccines will have to be updated with boosters so that as the virus mutates, the vaccine is able to capture the new mutations.
Anti-vaxxing has been gaining a lot of ground even before COVID-19, hasn't it, Dr. Mazes?
Yeah, I think sadly people are nervous about getting vaccinated, and I think it the reasons vary from, you know, I'm young and healthy and strong, and I think my immune system will do fine. We do see that the Delta variant is more contagious, and our hospitals now have a lot of young people who have become dreadfully ill. So, you know, I really would encourage young people who, you know, have this sense that they are healthy and strong and can withstand the virus. That's true for a lot of people, but it's not true for everybody. I think there are people who are just kind of categorically against vaccines, and that's a small percentage. Some people were nervous that the vaccine was not yet fully FDA approved, that it only had emergency use. And now we know that the Pfizer has been given the full approval. And so it's no longer an emergency use. And you know, of course, at this point, it's been used in hundreds of millions of people. And so probably we know more about the safety of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines than, you know, any vaccine maybe in human history. history because we just have so much experience. And so I would really encourage people who are on the fence to think about what's keeping them on the fence, and, you know, whether a conversation with their doctor or nurse or pharmacist might help them, you know, discuss some of the reservations they have. And those of you who are just sort of taking it slow, I'd really recommend you get vaccinated.
All right, Dr. Mazes, and we do want to direct people to the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine website. There's all sorts of great information there, Dr. Mazes.
Thank you. And it includes information about the vaccines and about the virus. So our website is azcim.org, azcim.org.
Dr. Victoria Mazes, thank you very much. We'll look forward to our conversation next month. Stay safe. Thanks.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Folks can learn more about Dr. Victoria Mazes on her website, Victoria Mazes, that's MAIZESMD.com, or you can follow her on Twitter at VMazes. Midway point of the Buckmaster Show coming up next. Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel. Our travel talk segment, we'll get the very latest, and it seems like so much because of COVID-19 is changing almost daily on the protocols with cruising and traveling. We'll get the latest from Ryan Hansen, midway point of Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bonvoyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Time for Insider Travel Talk on our program with our travel contributor, Ryan Hansen, President Chief Operating Officer of Bonvoyage Travel, Arizona's premier travel agency. Since 1976, the Bonvoyage Travel experts are ready right now to create your trip of a lifetime. There are three Southern Arizona Bonvoyage offices, River and Campbell, Green Valley, and Oro Valley. BVTravel.com is the first stop in making your travel dreams come true. Ryan, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
One of the many things that the pandemic has made so clear is the value of having a travel advocate in your corner. This is something that we need information that you can't necessarily just get by Googling. You know what I'm saying?
I'm telling you, Google is a tremendous tool, but you start down that rabbit hole, and not only is it difficult to find it, is it trusted? Is it information that you can verify? And you hit it on the head. There's so many global requirements and protocols, depending on the country or the place that you're going, that having somebody that has the resources, like our advisors here at Bonvoyage do, to be able to tell you, going to Hawaii, this is what it's going to require. Or like myself, Bill, I think last time we talked, you knew I was headed to the Dominican Republic.
That's
so
right.
My first international trip in over a year was earlier this month. I headed to the Dominican. I was staying at the Punta Cana Resorts and hotel properties down there. And while it was a fairly easy process, the Dominican Republic does not require a COVID vaccination card for entry. But to return to the United States, just like anywhere in the world now, I had to have a negative COVID test. But knowing where to get the test, how to do it, when to do it, all of those details, that was, thank goodness I'm in the travel industry and have the resources. Had I not, that could have been at least a frustrating, time-consuming, and anxiety-ridden process that I was able to avoid. And guess what? Had I gone to Puerto Rico, totally different protocols there. Had I gone to Antigua, even different protocols there that the average traveler or person would have a very challenging time understanding or verifying prior to their trip.
Ryan, I've been looking forward to this conversation because it seems like everything I read is showing that cruising is getting back. Most of the cruise lines, I guess, are operating, but I'm confused. I'm sure the travelers are. There are the different protocols. Give us an overview. Where are we, Ryan Hansen, cruising right now?
In general terms, most of the cruise lines are back in the water. There might be a couple that are getting back this week or in the coming weeks. And when I say back in the water, that's not every ship in their fleet, and that's not even every bed on every ship. So cruise lines are still taking a cautious approach to the return to sailing, and it starts with a vaccination. And that is where almost every cruise line across the board, and there has been some changes. That was not the status quo a month ago, that every destination and every cruise line was requiring a vaccination to board the ship. But even Carnival Cruise Line, they are the most recent holdout that has changed their policy, is now shifting to a vaccination required. That is your key to the least challenging, the least hurdles that you have to jump through or jump over in returning to cruising. And so that is a huge step, I believe, for cruising to be returned safely and healthy, is if all of the passengers have to be vaccinated. That's what we're seeing. And by the way, all the cruise crew members are having to be vaccinated. Some of the cruise lines are taking further steps and are requiring a negative COVID test regardless of vaccination now. That's a recent development. With the Delta variant, the cruise space looks at it from an industry standpoint as one extra step in their number one priority of keeping people safe and healthy on board. And so I think most travelers that we're talking to fall into two camps. I'm either going to wait because I'm cautious, or I'm willing to jump through some of those hoops of having to have a negative COVID test, have the vaccine, because my trip, I see it as more profitable to my own emotional health and my excitement level, my bucket list trips. I would rather travel under those circumstances than not travel at all.
Boy, that is a great way to characterize the two camps that really have developed right now. And the camp that wants to go to Alaska, don't they?
They absolutely do. And that is has always been a strong destination, especially for Southern Arizonans, for obvious reasons, to get out of the heat, the proximity, the ease of travel. Well, all of those things are even more important during what we're calling COVID cruising at this point, is because it's close to home. You're not touching international ports because of the waiver to the Jones Act. It is a great destination to not feel disconnected. So if you did have an issue, because things happen when you travel of any kind, doesn't have to be COVID related, you're close to home and you're within an arm's distance away of Tucson. And we are seeing the cruises departing with relative ease. There's been definitely positive test cases. And I think what we're learning through COVID, Bill, is regardless of destination, regardless of location, regardless of vaccination now with the Delta variant, we are living in a world where we're having to deal with COVID. We can't eradicate it from the face of the earth. So can we manage it? Can we limit its spread? Can we do the best way possible to mitigate the possibility of contracting it or spreading it? The travel industry is leading that charge. I would challenge anyone out there that says, oh, they're the ones that are having the biggest problems. They're the ones that are looking the most and taking the highest level of protocol chances and choices outside of maybe the medical profession and industry of any business out there. No restaurant, no hotel, other gathering, watering hole that you would go to on the weekend here in Tucson are taking the steps that the travel industry is to keep it safe.
Can you get a sailing now to Alaska still? Is the season extended, Ryan Hansen?
Yeah, the season's extended a little bit further into September. Typically, you would see the first 2 weeks of September be the end of the season, mm-hmm. but there are some sailings all the way through the month of September that still have availability. So if you say to yourself, I'm willing to go because I'm vaccinated already, probably need to already be vaccinated because you need that time to be fully vaccinated with, depending on the vaccination of choice that you go with. But if you're vaccinated, you could still get on a ship within the next 30 days to head to Alaska. And by the way, because those ships are not sailing at full capacity, there's less ships in the water. It's a great time to go because there's not as many people in Alaska right now. So you could almost have the state to yourself.
Yeah, and I saw some Facebook pictures from Ketchikan, when the first cruise ship rolled in a couple of weeks ago. Seems like the whole town turned out to greet them. There was some Haiden First Nations people that did a beautiful ceremony. It just looks like they're so happy to have the cruisers back.
Yeah, clearly I'm biased and feel that travel is in an integral part of our life and our livelihood as human beings. And I know you subscribe to the same philosophy, Bill. These destinations, their entire economic livelihoods is all about tourism. And, mm-hmm. and I've used this stat with you before, but globally, 1 in 10 jobs across the globe are involved in a travel or tourism type of a job. That's a pretty high number when you think about all the possible jobs out there. So it's important to us from an emotional standpoint, from a connection standpoint, from a diversifying your portfolio of culturalism and food and people and interest to make you a more well-rounded person. We feel travel is integral to that development as a human being. And so to return to that is important. We want to return safely. We want to return smartly. And I do believe the industry is taking all the right steps.
And for the other camp, the folks that want to wait, they want to travel. These are travelers, but they're just being a little cautious right now with Delta. They're looking at 2022 to cruise.
And 2023 for that matter, Bill. And what we're going to see is a race for space.
Right.
Is that pent-up demand is shifting people to book further out than they ever would before. I think a lot of people plan their vacation in the fall around the holidays. They get together with family and they say, okay, where are we going in the next summer?
Right.
People are looking at 2 summers ahead now because they've been locked away, right? They haven't mm-hmm. been able to experience it. Or, like you said, there's a reality. And there are people that have justifiable reasons for not wanting to travel right now, and we get it. Don't wait. I would say don't think, oh, I'll wait until January to book that summer river cruise in Austria and Hungary. That space is going to be gone because people are not waiting to book. They may be waiting to travel till 2022, but they're not waiting to book.
All right. Good information. Good update, Ryan Hansen. Always a pleasure. And again, the website is bvtravel.com. I strongly recommend people, maybe that's your first step, second step, then call BV Travel and Bon Voyage and talk to one of your experts there, and you've got a lot of them, and they can kind of go over the whole picture again of what you have in mind. If you want to do 22 or 2023,
absolutely,
they can walk you through the whole process. Good
stuff. We've got advisors that have been on test cruises here to Alaska. We have two of them that just came back. We had one of our advisors in Hawaii last week. So if you want to talk to people that not only send travelers to all these different destinations and what life is like through the lens of the COVID world we're traveling in, not only do we send people, we have people that have gone themselves to be able to share that and impart that info.
All right. Love talking travel, Ryan Hansen. Thank you very much. Talk with you next month. Thanks.
Take care.
All right. Ryan Hansen, President, Chief Operating Officer, Bon Voyage Travel. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. Next up, environmental reporter Mitch Tobin. Lots to talk with Mitch about the Colorado River right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. We like to say that Silver City always is cooler, you know, 10 degrees. I think it's about 20 degrees cooler today. We're expecting about 105, 106. The air quality is horrible. This would be a great afternoon if you got the time. Pile in the car, take the three-hour drive over to Silver City where the highs are in the mid-80s. Overnight low is so delightful, around 60 degrees. The mile high elevation, it does make a difference. Start your planning now. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find all sorts of great information about where to stay and all sorts of things to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's go now on the live line, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go up to Colorado, where it hopefully is cooler than it is here in Tucson. Mitch Tobin is the director of the Water Desk. It's a journalism initiative, fairly new, at the University of Colorado Boulder, focusing on western water issues in the Colorado River Basin. Mitch is our contributor on the environment. He's an award-winning journalist, former environmental reporter for the Napa Valley Register, Tucson Citizen, and Arizona Daily Star. He's the author of Endangered, which shows why so many species are at risk of extinction. The book won a gold medal in the Independent Book Publisher Awards, and Mitch joins us now from Colorado, his home base. Mitch, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. It's really nice to be back on the show.
Well, you know, Endangered really was ahead of its time, talking about endangered and so many species at risk of extinction. I think that came out about almost, was it 5 or 6 years ago?
2010, actually.
So 2010, been, 10 years. Yeah. I think you were ahead of the curve on this one, because that situation does not seem to be getting any better, does it?
No, I was just talking to somebody about the book recently, and I feel like almost all of the trends that I identified in the book as contributing to the extinction crisis we're facing have gotten worse. Climate change, you know, first and foremost among them. And so, you know, it's discouraging to see that things like wildfires and drought are continuing to really take a toll, not only on human species, but on animal species, plants in the native environment, but also on humans as well.
Mitch, it's been amazing here. We were hoping for a good summer thunderstorm season. And as you know, it's now the third wettest year on record in Tucson, Arizona. We're close to being the wettest summer ever. If we ever needed it, this was the summer to get it. It's amazing when I look at the drought monitoring index, where we went from exceptional drought, which I believe is the highest category, to now the second lowest, and that happened just really in a matter of weeks. The problem is that it's not uniform by any means throughout other parts of the West. Talk about that, please.
Sure. The entire American West has been gripped by drought. And it's really remarkable how great the extent is geographically of this drought. As you mentioned, the very productive monsoon that you've had in Arizona has helped improve the conditions. And also in Colorado, at least east of the Continental Divide, we had a very, very wet spring that also, you know, knocked back the drought. However, you look at other parts of the West, and there's some really exceptional drought conditions, and, you know, starts in Washington State down through Oregon, California, Nevada, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming. Really, the whole region has been suffering. And, you know, we've seen the wildfires on the West Coast as a really potent example of what that means.
The Colorado River, I mean, the water, the rain we've had here, it was so welcome. It does not impact the Colorado River. How does the river look right now?
You're right. The monsoon, although it's certainly helpful for addressing the drought, and it's a good thing that you guys have been getting so much rain, the Colorado River is primarily fed by snowmelt. So the winter snowpack is the real key ingredient. And we've had some pretty rough years recently, and As some of your listeners may know, we had the first ever shortage declaration on the Colorado River, which has led to cutbacks in Arizona in the agricultural community. And so the two big reservoirs, Lake Mead and Lake Powell, are both only about a third full. And so they have been in decline and often in a very steep decline. And that's raised a lot of concerns about the region's water supply, even raised concerns about whether the dams, Glen Canyon Dam and Hoover Dam, will be able to continue to produce hydroelectricity. So we've gone through these first, what are known as tier one cutbacks. But if the dry conditions continue, we'll be seeing those cutbacks expand to other places and to other sectors.
Your initiative, the Water Desk, is really something that hasn't been done before, has it?
You know, I'm not sure if there has ever been anything like that. I don't think so in regards to the Colorado River Basin. And, you know, our purpose is to try to elevate water journalism and to increase the volume and the quality and the impact of that reporting, because water issues are so important and they seem to be getting more important by the day. And so we give out grants to journalists, including some in Arizona, to support their coverage. And we work with students. And the whole goal is to just try to increase the amount of journalism on water issues so that the public and policymakers better understand these very, very deep problems that we're facing on the Colorado River and elsewhere.
We've got a great reporter covering environment here at the Arizona Daily Star, Tony Davis. I know you know Tony. He's been doing some great work.
He has, and we were excited to give him a grant last year to help support his work. And he has been tracking, you know, the decline of the Colorado River, also been doing some great reporting on depletion of groundwater resources. And as the surface water flows decrease and the reservoirs keep dropping, in a lot of places in the West, people are turning to groundwater, but that, of course, creates its own problems with overdrafting aquifers, which can lead to subsidence, the ground sinking, fissures opening up. And so Tony has definitely been on top of it, and I'm glad to see that he's real, you know, continuing to cover this and doing such a great job.
You seen any forecasts for the fall and winter on rainfall amounts in the West?
You know, it's difficult to say what the winter will bring as far as the snowpack. There's now a 70% chance that we're going to go into a La Nina pattern. And in general, that tends to make the southern states, places like Arizona, drier, and the Pacific Northwest wetter. But it's certainly not a guarantee. It just sort of tilts the odds. And the situation in the headwaters of the Colorado River in places like Colorado is a lot more muddled because it's sort of in between those two. So I don't think anybody has a real firm idea about what the winter may hold as far as the snowpack. But an important trend to remember is that even in some recent years where we've had average snowpack, the amount of water that's made it to streams and rivers and reservoirs has not been average. It's been far below average. And scientists say that this is largely because of the rising temperatures causing the ground and the soil to be so dry and evaporation rates to be much higher. Mm-hmm. And so even a normal snowpack year, because of things like climate change, is not necessarily guaranteeing us a normal year as far as runoff.
All right. Mitch Tobin, thank you very much. Good to talk with you, Mitch. Take it easy.
Thanks, Phil.
All right, Mitch Tobin checking in from Colorado. That's going to do it. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Tom Fairbanks also sends his regards. Dave Ramsey's next, talking about your money. Have a great afternoon, everybody.